Shot.
Let's go.
For the Welcome to the League of Dreaming.
Hello and welcome to episode 379 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick Aiken Cooper. Joining me, Adam Frost Rockards.
Heyo.
Blue Basket Sweat.
Heyo.
Hey, this week we're going to talk about some speedrun news. That's pretty fun. There's not much news to talk about. So we're going to talk about Yumi. We've got roundtable question, a new cheese pick that's not really new, but it is cheesy right now. We got some LCS news, which was pretty exciting, and we're going to round it out with some emails. Before we get into the show, though, Aiden, why don't you tell me about your week?
My week was all of us were at Easter, yeah. I didn't play League, and I was like, fuck, should we even have a show this week? That's what I was thinking yesterday, right? Because I'm like, I literally played zero League. Nick, you played pretty well zero League. Colton played some League, because he was like, when he went back home, he'd like play it or whatever.
I streamed a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm like, fuck, I don't even know if we should have a show. Like, none of us played League. And then today, I was like, nah, I'm going to make it happen. So I played my first game, Karthus game. In ranked on my server, fed. Second game, Karthus normal game, fed. Third game, Veigar game, fed. I'm like, fuck, I'm rusty. Like, I'm really bad at the game. like these are normal games and I'm just into. Also, that Smurf game on my Karthus, like the Karthus game, that Smurf account ended gold 170 points last season. Why the fuck is the lowest elo person in my ranked game plat 2? And the highest was D3.
So D3 is wrong. But you said you ended gold 2?
Gold 170 points.
That's not too far off from plat 2.
That's pretty far from my... I haven't been placed on it. That was my first game. I got on it.
That's a problem.
I'm like, I need to learn how to play this character. I'll get on a lower ELO account. I'm like, oh, this is like diamond. So,
Jesus.
Oh, well. And then today I'm like, you know what? I'm rusty. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to play Tom Kench top all day. And then I won 6 games in a row in ranked. So I am now, once again, the highest ELO League cast host.
Are you D2?
I'm D3, 34 points. Colton's D3, 18 points? 17 points, something like that.
Nice.
So
wait, did you get back to...
Yeah, I won my series today.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm at 28 points, Aiden. I need to win half of a game.
Yeah. Or you could just lose one, then you need to win a game and a half.
But that's how math works.
So I've had this curse where every single series I've failed three series recently to D3 from D4, and every single series has gone, I've won my first game, then immediately lost two, and today won my first game, get into my second game, and the enemy team has two Smurfs, and it's like, oh, who gives a fuck, they're Smurfs, right? One of them had an 85% win rate and the other one had a 95% win rate on their account.
Yeah, and it wasn't like 9 games. It was a pretty significant number.
Yeah, there was like 100 and something. Like, they're hard carries, and then we won still. So, hey, you can beat Smurfs no matter how hard of Smurfs they are. Like, holy fuck, that game was super spooky. But hey, I'm back to D3. I'm feeling good. I still think Tom Kench is not very good top. I think he's fun to play, though, and I feel like I'm good enough at him to make him work. But I wouldn't recommend picking him up. Anyways, that was kind of my week. Easter was lit. Ranked games are pretty all right.
Tell us more about your Easter experience. How you had a whole weekend here in the States. Tell us about it. What'd you do?
Chicago sucks. The States suck.
True.
Yeah? You go to the Field Museum?
I did go to the Field Museum, yeah.
Did you go to the mall with your friends while they played Pokemon Go?
Sadly. No, I had fun overall. It was a good weekend, I think, for the most part. Anything else that I'm missing? I don't think so.
It was your week. You missed Chuck, I know that.
Yeah, Chuck's good, though. Cool.
Good.
Colton, what about you?
All right, so my week also included Easter. So it started with us going to ASEN. That's Anime Central, for those of you who don't know.
I didn't go because I'm going to weep.
Yeah, me, Nick, Chris, and Warren went, and we ran into Nick and Mayor there, so that was pretty cool. I got a bunch of posters. Prints, but basically posters.
They're posters, right?
Mm-hmm. They're just posters that are real nice, so you're going to put them in a frame, and then they're prints. Mm-hmm. But I got some real cool posters. I got, like, a keychain. some other stuff, some cool JoJo stuff. So that was pretty cool. There's a lot of amazing art there. That's always my favorite thing to do at conventions, is go to like Artist Alley and just look at people's stuff who are way more talented than me. After that, we, you know, got some food and just hung out at Chris's. And then, you know, the next day was Easter, which was a day full of Kanye and drinking, and that was pretty great. Did a grilled cheese bar at Easter, which I really enjoyed. And that actually inspired me. I set it was either last night or two nights ago, I was streaming. And I set a sub goal of 10 subs, and I would do a grilled cheese cooking stream where I just stream myself cooking grilled cheese.
Hell yeah.
Hit it in one night.
Nice.
I like doubled my subs with the promise of a grilled cheese stream. So, look out for that if you are interested. I'll definitely like make sure it's an isolated VOD, and I'll probably like post it in the general chat just for anyone who cares. But yeah, other than that, did a little bit of League. Played some like games on various Smurfs, just like practicing characters I haven't played in a little while. Lost a few games on my main. I don't feel like I really played poorly any of those games that I lost, but hey, shit happens sometimes. But yeah, other than that, I think that's pretty much my whole week. I'm also planning a tournament with Good Guy Knox. So I posted about that a few times in the Discord. If you haven't seen it, definitely come check it out. It's a 2v2 tournament this Saturday. That's the 25th?
Yes.
25th, 1 p.m. Eastern. $20 is the first place prize, $10 for the second place prize. It's a real fun format. Aiden and I played one just like it. Really enjoyed it. I would really recommend you coming out. The other guy that's doing it with us, Good Guy Knox, has a good amount of extra production like lined up on his end, where he makes things look really nice and pretty and like actually organizes things well. So if you were a little bit taken aback at the Clown Fiesta that was our last 1v1 tournament, this one's going to be a little bit better prepared. Any information about that, feel free to DM me on Discord or just go to the announcements page. And there's details there, as well as a link to the registry page on Challenge.
I'll also put it in the episode description.
Very good. Aside from that, Nick, how was your week, buddy?
Hey, it was pretty good. Yeah, Easter. I don't think I can add anything that these two didn't. Came back, absolutely bombed my exam. Did not do well at all. So that's not good. But still doing well in the class. Went back to work today.
Did you explain to your teacher why?
No, I'm not going to talk to him about it. I'm just going to pretend like it didn't happen.
It's like the classic saying, too much Kanye, not enough accounting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. went back to work today and that kind of sucked. It was not a day off, which was really nice because I had 5 days off, so but that's okay. Played one ranked game yesterday. I thought I played really well, but not well enough, I suppose. So, I think that's my league update. Otherwise, it's just been like normals and ARAMs, not a bunch though. So let's get into the show. Why don't you tell us about any speedrun news you got?
So, as people may know or may not know, because people sometimes don't listen to what we talk about, I a couple weeks ago set a world record for building the fastest Trinity Force in a bot game with a time of 3 minutes and 12 seconds. And then I challenged our listeners to do the same, and I said whoever got the highest speed out of all of our listeners by posting on speedruns.com in the like the Trinity Force section would get a $10 RP prize. And we had two submissions this week. We have coming in at 10th place in the world with Mountain Mark. He played a Scion build, and he got it in 5 minutes and 37 seconds. And we have our winner, Papa John's, who dethroned me by getting a time of 3 minutes on the dot.
Wow.
So you guys should check that out on speedruns.com. Like he got some pretty good klepto stacks, but I think he also played it a little bit better as well. I'd be curious to know how many times you like tried it sort of thing. Because I probably tried it maybe like 20, 25 times sort of thing to get the record.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. Either way, I'll message you or you'll message me. We'll figure it out. And then I'll give you your RP, my dude.
Hell yeah. That's cool. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was fun.
Nice. Congratulations. Let's talk about Yumi, though. So, our newest...
More like
newest
UP, because she's bad.
P...
Well, you okay. Pooped.
But after like 11 hotfix buffs, how is she 10. Now?
It's 10. But only adequate. Below, slightly below adequate.
I think in general, she's pretty garbo, but I did play with one Yumi that was like real good, and I was like, wait, I don't understand why we're winning, but nobody's dying with Yumi around.
Mm-hmm. She feels super like a win more character. Like when you're winning, she just like makes it so no. It's like, I guess that's just shield and heal characters in general, like Soraka's, Sona's, whatever. But she's like the, like that dialed up to 11, right? Where anyone's low, she just jumps on them and heals them for 4 billion. And she never can get caught out because she's never going to be like by herself, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of feels like old Janna used to feel, like where you just sit behind your AD carry and shield, except you're inside of them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then the shield pops and it's like, ooh, big damage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird. I think my biggest problem with her currently is, like, she's not very visually distinct. So, like, what she's doing and what's happening is pretty unclear. I think with, like, her attach and her W, like, her W and E are pretty unclear, right? Like, her ultimate, okay, big AoE spell, you can see it happening. Her Q, stupid ass ability, but it's understandable what's happening. Like, she's just jumping around and like you don't even realize sometimes that there's a Yumi attached to the character when you go in on them. It is not visually distinct enough, I think.
Yeah, especially on the map where it'll either cover the champion she's on or like it won't. When it doesn't, it's fine. But when it covers the champ on the map, it's kind of messed.
I also feel like it's hard to tell, like, when you know when she's inside someone, she kind of like falls behind them, but she's like kind of tiny. I feel like I don't see her like right away ever. So like I'm if I like quickly glance over, I'm like, oh, where's Yumi? Like I don't see, I'm like, oh, it's a 4v5 or whatever, but she's actually inside one of the four people in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I feel like it's not too bad.
Yeah. So so let's like talk about her. She's obviously a support champion, like we've mentioned.
A jungler.
Yeah.
A jungler,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
So summoner spells, what do you guys think? Because I've been seeing flash heal a bunch. Or I'm sorry, exhaust heal.
Yeah, I've seen exhaust heal or heal ignite. Or even exhaust ignite if your AD carry still wants to take heal. I think probably heal exhaust and your AD carry can take like a cleanse or a barrier is probably the best way to go, because like you don't need flash because you just jump into the carry and then they can flash for you or you're just already out.
Yeah, I think she's like one of the only characters in the game where I think flash is bad on her. Like you're never gonna make a play where you need to flash for like a play, I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
I personally think like the double offensive summoners like exhaust ignite is better, but I do think there is room for either exhaust or ignite plus heal, and then your AD carry either goes barrier or TP. TP is really, really cool though, because she can jump inside your AD carry when they TP, and then it's like they just both get back to lane, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, so that's one reason I really like the like heal ignite or heal exhaust setup, and then also right because you're gonna build the healing amplification as well as having the airy, so like your heal's just going to be more effective, and it's probably going to be up more often too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. So skill order. I only have played her once. I went EWQ. A lot of people are going QEW. I think W's kind of underrated. Like, you may want to max it second.
No. It doesn't
at
scale
max rank,
at all.
It gives. It does.
Yes, but I'm saying it's not compared to like your other abilities.
So I think your Q's dog shit. I think
her
like
Q's really good.
I think it's dog shit.
It's really good.
I think your Q's dog shit, and you should play her like you're a Lulu or a Soraka, where you just sit on your AD carry and shield him and heal him and not worry about damage at all. Maybe I'm playing it wrong. Maybe I'll be proven wrong.
Kirky does a billion damage.
But I don't think it does, though.
Like, it does.
What does it scale to at max rank?
165 plus 45%, and then it has the empowered damage, which is that's when you're attached, right? Or when is
yeah,
the
it's
how
not
do you,
bad.
Which
it,
what's
no,
the,
it has to travel for 1 second.
Oh, so empowered damage. Yeah, it's actually 285 mm-hmm. plus 60 instead.
Which, yeah, if you can get it empowered, that's real good. But I think unempowered, pretty bad.
Like that chunks though. If you're empowered, like that's insane. Yeah. It's 80% slow. Her Q is wild. I think it's slow as well. You max it though. It scales 40% to 80%.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I looked at her scaling on her W, and it's a little. It's worse than I thought it was. But 21% at max rank is still pretty, like, pretty significant.
And the reason why you don't, yeah, well, so 21% AP of their AP as like that you yeah. get as adapt. Well, of their stats that you get as a. Their stats are turning into adaptive stats. Yeah, yeah. Which yeah. I don't think is that you're building no damage items on her. You're building zero. So, like, it rarely ever affects anything. You could make it, like, I could see some people being confused that, like, oh, you maybe decrease the cooldown of it. But the cooldown is based on your level of the ability. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah. it goes, it's 10 seconds at level 1. I think it scales down to 0 at 11 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I really don't think you make use of those stats, like, ever.
Okay. So then QEW is what we mm-hmm. we are recommending.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else. Starting items.
Spell Thieves.
Spell Thieves or Ancient Coin? I like Spell Coin. Thieves. You get your thing faster. But
Spell Thieves, you right, scale Spell Thieves. With AP. And can it's you... pretty easy to hit the Q.
Mm-hmm.
You can collect coins while you're attached. Your AD carry just has to do it.
Okay, that's weird. I feel like you being able to sit inside them and get Spell Thieves procs is really good, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I think our build's super easy, though. Like, every single game, you're always doing the same thing. You're going, like, items like Ardent Censor, Athenes, Redemption, CDR Boots. Yeah. You're obviously upgrading your Sightstone at one point. Like, they're very easy items.
Just never buy boots on Yumi, because if you're inside of another character, they don't count. Just saying.
I don't actually think that's a bad idea.
I think that it's not a bad idea as a late game thing of, like, sell your boots so you can have control wards because they don't matter kind of thing, but I just...
I was going to go the other argument, like, where you can go mobility boots, because you just need to get to someone, right? Mm-hmm. That's all you got to do is you got to get to another friend.
And if you get caught out, you're dead anyways.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of cool. I do think CDR, but, like, she really does, like, utilize CDR very well with, like, her abilities.
Yeah, especially her E.
Does she even really?
Her E has a charge system, but there's no cooldown on using it. So you can, like, you can heal someone real fast.
Okay, cool.
CDR boots.
Yeah, so she does use CDR very, very well. And then, like, you can, if you want to round out your build something else, like, usually a support, you're not going to. I think the idea of selling boots for actually control wards is really, really cool late game. But if you do want, like, a final item, you can go with stuff like maybe Twin Shadows. I actually think Majaya's is pretty decent on her because you don't get killed as easily as other supports. Like, you can never get picked, really.
Yeah.
Just hide inside your tank and you'll be fine.
But honestly, though, I think Majaya's is, like, pretty good on her.
Kind of like that old Janna build where you just, I don't know, you just stood behind your AD carry.
Yeah, and you'd eventually, like, you wouldn't get stacks very fast, but by the end of the game, you wouldn't have died, so you'd just have 25 stacks. Yeah, I think Majai's is pretty underrated on her, though.
Nice. And runes.
Oh, Aerie.
You go Aerie?
Yeah.
Manaflow.
Transcendence. Scorch.
Yeah. And then...
Biscuits and Cosmic Insight, I think.
Biscuits. Okay, yeah, I could see that. And then, obviously, double offense, and I'm seeing people go health, but I think health is kind of bad.
I think it depends on
Although
what their
on her,
lane is.
Yeah. On her, she kind of needs it. Like, she has such low HP at level 1.
She has lowest HP in the game, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, she should.
Do you remember when they changed how the HP, like, when they decided that HP was going to be one bar for every 200 health for some reason for that one patch? And yes. So and I had a bar and a half of health.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like she's not that bad. I feel like she's really... No, she's not hard to play. There's no way she's a hard-to-play character, but I feel like people are playing her wrong most of the time. I feel like sitting in your teammate the entire lane is bad, because then he always takes the damage, or your AD carry always takes the damage. You need to be eating damage. You need to be, like, still splitting damage, but...
Yeah, I've had that issue with some Yuumis where, like, they're literally just, like, sitting inside me at full health, and, like, here comes the Ezreal Q, and they just stay and watch me die.
Like, in well, a perfect like Yuumi... Even... Sorry.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, you're not utilizing the untargetability of your W, which is, like, one of the strongest aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. Like, in a perfect fight, you want to get yourself down to 1 HP, then jump inside them, right? Because you ate 400 damage or 500 damage. I don't know. I feel like she's just hard to play. I think she is a win more character, though. When you're winning a game, I feel like she's really oppressive because she's a support that can never get picked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that's an accurate assessment.
Is there anything else with her? I guess like an important thing is like characters that you can pick around. You always need AD carry that can like scale off of like art and items, in my opinion. Like you can't Absolutely. Have like a mage support or something. I feel like
exception is you can go with Ezreal.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Ezreal's the one exception.
I meant more like literally like casters. Like you can't play like fucking Cassiopeia bot, Syndra bot, Mord bot, right? Mm-hmm. You need someone who's going to actually utilize Ardent and Athenes and all those mm-hmm. healing items.
I think so too. She's super good with Kai'Sa. I imagine super good with Draven.
Mm-hmm.
That just sounds like a fun lane.
One of the coolest combos in the game, it's not a bottom lane combo, but having Evelynn jungle on your team. She's Ooh. Invisible when she's inside Evelynn.
Oh, so, okay. So that would work on Twitch as well then.
Yeah. But that's obviously for a short amount. But you can just sit inside Evelynn while she roams around, and then you just like a Q just pops out of nowhere and fucking blasts someone.
Hmm.
It's really good.
Is the Q invisible and like...
No, it like pops out of like just like nowhere, and then you see it. But still, like you hit them with an 80% slow pretty well. Like they can't really dodge it unless they have like flash or something. And then Evelynn can one hit them.
Nice.
I think that's her best combo, though.
Yeah. I do... Okay, we should mention Aatrox, because she's kind of nuts with Aatrox.
Mm-hmm.
Where her heal's just 70% more effective.
Yeah. He should literally only get it on his own abilities and, like, attacks. That's so silly.
Mm-hmm. I did really enjoy playing her with, like, a tank who can just engage. So I played with Maokai, and that was a really good time. Because he would just go in and then that's it. Like, he's not dying.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's probably going to be her best. Like, you go in with a real tanky boy. You wait the 10 seconds until they die. And then you, like, fall back to the mage or whatever.
Yeah. I definitely... Nice. She's sitting at a 39% win rate. I don't think she's a 39% win rate character, though. I feel like she's, like, a... high 40% win rate character. I feel like that's where she probably should sit.
Mm-hmm. Sub 50 though, right?
Yeah, I think currently she's probably like 47. They have more buffs for her next patch. They're increasing her base health by like 40 or something like that.
That's not bad.
I feel like they're gonna overbuff her eventually, though. It seems like that's what they're gonna do.
Yeah, I think it's hard not to.
Yeah. She's a weird character. That's always going to like lead to lower win rates, though.
Mm-hmm. I feel like my prediction of what's going to happen is this is going to be the same as Ivern, where she came out with real low. People are going to figure her out, and she's going to be nutty for a while, and people are going to be like, nerf it, nerf it, nerf it. And they're going to be like, we'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Cool. Yuumi's cool, and her skin's sick. Her skin's way better than her base.
Her skin is really cool, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool character. I've seen more Yuumi mains than I thought I'd ever see in my entire life.
Yeah, how many
names to you?
How many zero game Yuumi mains have you seen? I've seen two.
I haven't looked, but I imagine every single one of them has been.
It's just funny seeing someone with like Yuumi only in their name or something like that, and then they have zero games on Yuumi.
You're witnessing the birth of something special.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. That was Yuumi. Let's talk about the roundtable question.
Yeah. So last week's question was, if you could replace an ability from your main champ with one from another champion, what would you replace and why? Rowan said, I'd replace my Zillion ult with Malphite ult, and I'd take Ignite Barrier so I could just speed in with a bomb in my head, ulti, then drop the second bomb for that final clap and stun. Ignite would finish off whoever tried to get away, and I'd still have Barrier and speed up to TikTok my way out of there if I needed to. Cool. See, that was a way better answer than your Zillion answer that you tried to give last week. That's sick, better. Though. I like the idea of a Zillion going from a super utility-based ult to an engage ultimate.
To an assassin. Yeah.
That's actually really cool.
Wild.
Luke said, Vladimir, and I would change his E to Swain's ability that pulls champions towards you. Ooh. I feel like his E is so, like, core to his kit. Is there...
I feel like people actually underrate it tremendously because it's, like, one of the best abilities in the game.
Yeah.
I think the biggest reason that it's nutty is, like, how much it scales up the longer you charge it and the fact that you can cast it in pool.
Mm-hmm. It has a 2-second cooldown, like, with 40% at level 5.
Yeah.
It's wild.
What if the E ability that you changed off Swain could also be cast while he was, like, underground? There's got to be a ton of good ones if you did that, right? I'm sure there would be.
So.
Tom said, I'd replace Zac with Morgana Q. Zac lacks CC cap. I think you could replace almost any character's Q with Morgana Q, and they'd probably be better.
Can we replace Zac W with Galio W?
Yeah.
Dives in, bonks heads together, taunts everybody, bring them back to the team.
That'd be wild.
From our Discord, MegaJTN said, Sejuani Q with Ivern Q. Sure, it's a skill shot, but imagine the ganks and CC land Q on the enemy mid laner. Just go in and chain CC, free engage. That's just a better version of Sej Q, right? If it was on her
Ivern Q?
I think so.
So the only downside is she can't knock up.
Oh, yeah, it is a knock up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she can't use it to go over walls.
Yeah, she can't use it unless, like, there's a champion there.
Yeah.
I feel like it's better in every situation where there's characters, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think hitting it on an enemy champion, better. A lot of other fringe cases, just like the fact that you can just use it to like get around the map quickly and jump walls, though, is real nice.
That's fair. Guitar Guru said, swap Rengar's Bola for Ivern's Bush. And he said, oh, wait, my main, Trinimir W with Nasus Wither or Warwick Fear.
God.
Those would be
Nasus
gross.
Wither on Trinimir would be so OP.
I do like Rengar being able to spawn bushes under him for jumps, though. That'd be so
cancer.
Awesome.
You'd spawn it on the enemy, right? So that way you jump into them, and then there's another bush.
Yeah, I just think about him, like, chasing you through lane or something, and then he drops a bush. Be really good.
Jesus.
And last but not least, Broken Banjo said, I changed Cho's E for the old version. Constant max health damage. Rest in peace, attack speed Cho. Frowning face.
Yeah, I'm also frowning. I loved attack speed Cho.
I think his new one's so much better, though.
It's way better.
Oh, it's way better, yeah. Can I just come up... I think I've got one more. Not for champion I main by any means, but I want to
Don't answer the question.
Yeah, that was the question. The question wasn't for...
Fuck, dude.
Okay, I won't.
I want to hear it.
Yeah, go ahead. It was just a funny ha-ha, dude. All right, you can cut this part out. Colton, we're just having a good time. It's just for the podcast.
Dude, it's a joke, dude.
Yeah, it's just a joke. You're supposed to just keep going with it. All right, ready?
Okay, go. Yeah. So I'm going to replace Nautilus Q with Camille. And he's just going to be even more
mobile. I don't think anyone with that model that big should be that quick around the map, though.
I know, but it'd be so funny.
Why not just, like, Alistar E with Camille?
Okay, so there has to be a ratio of, like, your character, like, movement ability scales inversely with character size.
I think my only problem with that is that Zac breaks that rule.
But Zac's
real big,
like,
and jumps real, real far.
Zac's goo, though. He's not, like, he's not thick, you know? He's thick, but he's not thick.
Hecarim gets real big, and he's pretty thick, and he goes real fast.
He gets real assassin-like.
He goes real fast.
I just like the idea of...
Fast is not mobile, though.
I just like the idea I was going to say, Alistair's legs just, like, latching onto a wall, though.
Would he have regular legs, or would he have the...
No, he'd have just like regular legs, and they'd just like latch onto a wall, and he'd go flying.
That would be awesome. That character would be 100% picked in professional play.
He'd just be a better character, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, instead of having to wait 5 seconds for his stun, you could just be extra mobile, and because you eat somebody, knock them up with QW, them back into your team. Nutty.
It's a tragedy that this character doesn't exist.
Riot, please.
Is it though?
Riot, please, in a fun game mode.
That being said, Nick, when you're like, a character's mobility should be inversely proportional to like their how big they are or how thick they are, however you want to define that, is the first image in my mind, and I guess you won't find this funny because you don't like Marvel movies, but I'm just imagining them like nerfing the shit out of Talon's E, and it's just like the same Talon, but it's like Fat Thor from the most recent Avengers, where he's just like real heavy. It's just like, Talon's been drinking too much beer. He can't jump over walls anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't have a fat Yasuo dashing around. All right. What about this week's roundtable question?
This week's roundtable question is, Riot has decided, this is from Victor, that he submitted them last week, I believe. Riot said, Riot has decided that there are not enough status effects, and before Worlds are dropping the kitchen sink on new statuses, on a bunch of items and champions to hilarious effects. What are the new status effects and what do they do?
All right, I got one. Ready?
Okay, go for it.
It's called Dread. Occasionally, your champion just gets the feeling that they have an assignment they have to do, except it's due it in 15 minutes and it's like 60% of your grade. You just know, like, that's not getting done. This is it. This is where I fail the class. Alternatively, you feel like you're in social situations that you shouldn't be in. Someone gives you the wrong name, but it's been too many weeks, so you can't correct them.
Yeah, like what you said from Center Discord earlier.
Yeah. I'm Brandon now.
You look like a Brandon, I think.
Thank you. I think. Hey, what about you guys?
Okay, so I'm going to go with one that I kind of talked about a little bit of, just like shrunk, where you just like make them smaller and it just like will proportionally decrease like the range of all of their abilities and autos and stuff, right? So like half the size and maybe like their range of auto attacks goes down by like 25%, and same with all their abilities. I think it'd be hilarious.
I think it'd be hilarious too, except I don't think the code can handle it.
Yeah, I don't know about Riot's spaghetti code.
It's like when they enlarge, their ability range just become global. That's a bug that occurs when that happens, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Another one, we're gonna impose a tax levy on opposing champions, and it's like they get reduced gold from minions either until they've paid up to a certain point or after a defined period of time. Hmm. Should get like 5% less incoming gold.
But if you get a bunch of kills and you get ahead, you pay less.
Yeah, obviously we gotta give tax breaks on the wealthy. So they can make more jobs.
Trickle down, dude.
Yeah, trickle down. That gold's going to
trickle down from my fat 80 carry.
Got Jeff Bezos draving up in here.
Aiden, how about you?
Aiden, do you have a status effect for us?
Yeah, it's called hot-headed. And it's whenever you like miss a CS or like someone on your team dies or you're down gold in the game, or you lose a team fight, your character auto-types some sort of flame to your team, calling them bad, calling them shit at the game, calling them boosted. Oh. And you didn't type it. Sometimes you just have to go, no, I was under the effects of hot-headed. But it just tries to tilt your team. Yeah, sometimes you weren't, though. But yeah, it just types me.
I was getting hot-headed.
Okay, I think you were going to go a different way. Like, do you remember what's the character name from Divekick? Jeff Bailey? Bailey. The guy whose head gets bigger every time he wins.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to go with that.
No, that's good, though. I was also going to go sad as my status effect. So when you're affected by
what
sad,
does it do?
You just play slightly worse. Like, all your abilities do, like, slightly less damage.
Okay.
And you're just, like...
Kind of like shrunk.
Your skill shot ranges are slightly shorter. But yeah, you're just
That's
you're just
a really
sad.
Good, unique, original idea, Aiden.
Thanks.
Hey, if everyone wants to send their answers in about variations of shrunk,
like tiny or
minuscule,
anti-enlarged.
Okay, wait, can I add one more?
Sure.
Nope. I want to add one that's like confused, and during the duration, two ways I could see it going. Like, one could be like, friendly fire exists for the duration, or like your abilities just sometimes don't like work properly. Like you hit your Q and your E goes off.
Okay, I don't like that second part, but I like the first part.
The first part where you can deal friendly fire damage?
Yeah. Friendly fire the Karthus?
Yeah, right?
That'd be wild.
Usually you just flash in and confuse him right as you ult.
Alternatively, confusion. For the duration of the CC, you think the world's round. Thank you.
That'd be so funny because it's flat. We all know that.
Why don't they just make a game mode where you can do friendly fire damage for like a rotating game mode?
That'd be kind of funny.
Like,
why don't they just do friendly fire and then it's PUBG?
But like, honestly,
we're dropping though, Grant
boys. Like, what characters? Like characters like Brand would be worse, right? Like a lot worse if they're friendly.
For sure, yeah.
Like, I feel like that'd be a lot of fun, but then there could be like some weird things. Like, you could play Alistar and you could headbutt your teammates in to like engage over them.
Or you could you could like Vayne, you could condemn the Alistar in, like something like that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there's like, I feel like there's cool things you could do.
Yeah.
The Galio starts charging up his taunt and Tristana ults him in there. Power lane.
Cool. Hell so yeah. You can send your roundtable answers in to our Facebook page at LeagueCast. Send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section.
Nice. Colton, why don't you tell us about this wacky, never-before-seen cheese pick?
I don't like the way that you're saying
it's never
that.
Played an LCS before. No, that's crazy.
Has it actually? I don't watch that much. Is it a popular thing?
Like a year
it
ago?
Was like, it was when she came out, yeah. In EU, she was pick ban.
Oh, well, I feel bad
now. No,
no,
go for it. Go for it.
Well, so I saw this in one of my games. So it's just Camille support with Aftershock. You go, you know, Targons, obviously. She's got strong CC, really good base damages. She's an excellent trader with her passive as well as her W, and she's all around like good pick character, can get pretty tanky pretty easily, especially with Aftershock. So I can see why it was played at a high level, because I think it's actually pretty good. But I think it's also real cheesy, so enjoy it and dick on any Jarvan that tries to play the game because he just gives you free terrain. The end. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Nice. I like it.
Cool.
Let's talk about LCS, where MSI finished, and what a wild finish it was.
Let's just talk about the other things first, really quickly. So, first of all, they announced Rift Rivals. Cool, it's in June. Woo! I actually like Rift Rivals more than most people, but a lot of people hate it for some reason.
It's fun. Fun lead back.
I like it. And then
I think most people like it more than you. I don't think you're a real fan.
No, everyone on Reddit hates it, so therefore it's not cool. Because Perk said it's bad. And then Prayer came out of retirement. Yay.
Pog.
2 month retirement. Pog.
Yeah, I was not surprised.
Cool.
But yay. Pray more League of Legends from Prayer. Always happy about that.
More trips to Korea.
Woo.
Shut up.
And then MSI results.
Let's talk about that.
Did NA or EU prove that they were the dominant team?
Yes.
One of those.
So, IG Team Liquid. None of us saw this coming.
Yes.
Was it 3-1 Team
3-1.
Liquid?
3-1.
Yep, Liquid 3-1 them.
Yeah.
And
Xithi played so fucking well in the whole tournament.
He did.
He played like shit in groups. What do you mean?
Like shit.
I mean, groups don't matter, though.
He played out of his mind in one series. Nick, I think he didn't play well in finals either. What do you mean? He played well in four games.
Okay, no one played well in finals. I think he played the best on the team.
Yeah, but he didn't play well.
I get fine.
I'm just saying,
he played real good in one series.
He was the best player in the series, I think.
Yeah.
Actually, it's hard to say, because I want to say Jensen was, but that's because
Jensen
played so shit in groups that, like, the comparison was, like, really good.
That's the thing. I think there's such a, like, Jensen's so good when he's good, but he's so shit when he's shit. He's NA caps, dude.
Yeah.
So he had like a not bad series, and it was pretty good. Yeah, and then SKT G2. SKT lost, and it was honestly a close
series. Everyone expected that, really. I mean, everyone knew G2 was going to clap SKT.
Nah. It's just weird seeing Pike picked only by G2, but it looks like OP in every single match they pick it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but good on them. Willing to do their own thing rather than conform to a regional strategy from somewhere that else.
I felt bad for Clid. Then, he was the only fucking player who played super consistently well in that series.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. But, G2 Team Liquid was the final. NA versus EU. It's finally here. This is going to be super hype. They matched, like, pretty well across the board. Except the it was over in, like, an hour and a half.
72-minute series, yeah.
Yeah. Wild. It was not close at all. I think the beginning of, what, game two was close, and then that was it?
Mm-hmm. Game one was gross. It was, what, 23 kills to, like, 3 or something like that? Mm-hmm. Like, ugh. Yeah,
disgusting.
Like, I was to the point where I was like, holy shit, NA fucking 3-1 China, the 9-1 team in groups. There's no way I can be disappointed in NA. NA's good. NA's great, dude. I the land of the free. And then they did that, and I was like, I don't know how I could have been, like, disappointed by them, but they managed. Like, it's actually insane.
Yeah, if someone would told you that Liquid would go to the finals and disappoint you, you'd be like, no. That's impossible. Making the finals is all I need.
It was just, like, two different teams played.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Between semis and finals. But,
and don't get me wrong, I think G2's really good. I think G2 is, like, actually a really, really good team.
Yeah, I think the only weakness on that team is, what, Jankos?
Jankos, like, had some strong games, though.
His early pathing's really good.
Yeah, no, early in the game, super good. I just feel like kind of a liability compared to, like, Clid or Xsmithy later in the game.
Yeah, I think, like, his, like, level 1 to 3, like, he gets first blood, like, I would say 90% of their games.
Absolutely,
but
yep.
Other than, like, I do feel like he's not on the same level. Like, Wonder is, like, one of the best top laners, like, definitely the best top laner in all of the West. Caps, when he's on, he's probably the best top mid laner, maybe him and, I don't know how, I don't want to say Bjergsen because people shit on me for it, but, like, maybe Bjergsen, but if not Bjergsen, he's the best when he's, like, on. Mm-hmm. And then their bottom lane, like, is even crazy. Perks can play mages better than any other AD carry, which opens up huge possibilities for them.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, he plays AD carries at a super high fucking level.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think he's not as good as some other, like, AD carries. Like again, him versus, like, Teddy or, like, Jackie Love or even Doublelift. Like, I think he was better than Doublelift at the tournament by, like, a lot on AD carries. But I think he was, like, weaker than maybe Teddy on AD carries. But he can play shit like Syndra that, like, people like Teddy can't.
Mm-hmm. It's actually such an interesting
question.
Yeah.
Question for you guys. Would you say that the current iteration of G2 is the strongest Western team that has ever existed?
Season 5 Fnatic, maybe? That's the only competition, right?
I think
the only competition would be a Season 5 Fnatic or, like, Season 2 M5, and that doesn't really count.
I feel like Season 5 Fnatic is, like, the best, other than, like, this G2 is probably the best we've seen, when they had Rainover and Huni.
Yeah,
their worlds
true.
Run, like, they actually seem like a top 4 team. Like, usually we meme on whoever, like, there's usually one semis team that's, like, kind of got there through an easy quarter.
Yeah,
yeah, like, no one actually thinks H2K is a top 4 team at that year at Worlds,
yeah,
right? Because they
absolutely
beat they beat the wildcard team, right?
Yes,
it's like they're not a top 4 team, but Fnatic was actually, like, easily top 4. Like, they could have made finals, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think H2K played against, what was the, was it Kaboom?
The team that upset CLG
was,
in the,
like,
group.
Yeah, it was, it was the team with, it was CLG, Rocks, Tigers,
yeah,
G2,
that was the group,
and that other team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Either way, it's like, the Fnatic, that other, like, I guess that's the competition, but we'll see how well they do at Worlds, but, like, I think they're on that level, if not above it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also, I think the only thing that'll really make that choice, that call, is, like, do they continue and, like, because, right, like, if they win Summer Split, I think then you can say it. I think it should go a little bit longer. That being said,
I disagree. I don't think them winning Summer Split will be very impressive. I think EU outside of like two teams, maybe three, is pretty like mediocre at best.
I was actually going to bring that up right away, Nick, was like looking at regional strengths, even though EU played super well at this tournament, like G2's fucking insane. I think they're top 100% top five team in the world, right? Probably top three team. Maybe top two team. That's like kind of, that kind of gets more shaky as you go up. But like looking at EU versus NA versus Korea versus LPL, China, I think that EU second and third teams are way below G2 by like a huge margin compared to like Korea, China, and even NA. NA, I think Liquid, TSM, and Cloud9 are all very, very close to each other. Whereas G2, Fnatic, and I think it was Origin, are not even close in comparison to G2.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, I think it's pretty,
that's fair,
it's safe money to say that they're gonna win. It all depends on like world's performance.
I guess I wasn't really familiar with how weak the other teams in EU were. I guess I was just mainly saying, like, as long as this wasn't like a one and done, right? Like, they played out of their mind at the end of the split into MSI, then like they just go back to being okay, then I think that matters. But I think you guys are definitely right that the competition that they're against, they're probably going to easily win the split.
Well, they've been in every single finals, right, for the past like 3 years
or since something. Since their introduction,
They've won all but one, I think.
They lost to Fnatic 1 year.
Yeah. So, like, it's not been close. I think G2 has a pretty notorious reputation at Worlds. However, their MSI performance looked pretty strong.
I'm excited, though. Man, I love seeing Western teams do well either way.
For sure. It should be interesting. And, of course, I think this means that NA doesn't have to do the play-in.
Next year at MSI,
because they got
to
the finals.
Oh, wait, no. It's based on...
for Worlds, right?
It's based on points. It's a point system over the last 2 years. Either you know that. I didn't know that. It's a point system that's based on... I think it's only MSIs and it's only MSIs Worlds. And Worlds. Oh. It's over the past 2 years, something like that. But I think NA might have crossed the threshold. I wish I could find that somewhere. Like, someone like linked it like in some post game thread. But it's something that I've never heard anyone talk about.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, let's get into the emails. I think that's it for MSI, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So our first email up is from Leonardo, and he said, "Hey fellers, I've been enjoying the podcast ever since I started listening about a month ago. Welcome aboard. I value your group's opinions on builds and champions to play to gain easy ELO. I play AD carry mainly and started using attack move this last season. It's improved my gameplay to climb from silver to gold 3. My question to you guys is, how can I improve my macro play, if I'm using that term correctly? When to group with my team is my biggest confusion I've found. How do I decide when to leave lane without getting behind?" So I think it's pretty... this is one of the hardest things to actually learn in League. Because it's not something that you learn like in the practice tool, right? It's not something you can just grind out.
Yeah, and it's not something with like a clear answer other than like... a really disingenuous, like, well, you leave lane and group with your team when the benefit of grouping with your team is more than staying in lane, right? And, like, that doesn't answer anything.
Yeah, it's tough. I think that's probably the first question that you need to ask yourself is, like, hey, if I go here, worst case scenario, what happens? Best case scenario, what happens? Versus, is this, like, I can get 8 more CS, you know, or I can get a turret. I can get 2 turrets here. And the fight will go even. They can disengage, like that sort of thing. It's tough.
But yeah, I mean, I guess just things to consider in general. Like, if you do take an early tower bot lane, typically it's really good to rotate either mid or top, just to pick up more plates, because again, those are a time capped resource, and the more of those you can get, that's gold that your team gets that the enemy team has no chance of recuperating. You know, the question of, yeah, like, best case, worst case. And in general, I'd say assume that the worst is going to happen where your team is and where you aren't, right? Because it's like, let's say I'm farming bottom on AD carry, and my team and the enemy team starts grouping mid, right? Like, best case, they either hold or win a 4v5. What's going to most likely happen? They're going to take a team fight, lose three people in the tower. Like, so I maybe leave that wave of four or five minions, because best case scenario, okay, I got like 80 gold, maybe 100 gold bot. Worst case scenario, we lose like 1,000 gold in a tower.
Mm-hmm. So it's just something you'll have to play and get a feel for.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, just, you know, considering item timings is another big way to kind of make that decision, right? Where you're saying, okay, I'm at, you know, two items, and I'm a strong two item AD carry. It's time for me to group. Or maybe you're like at 1.5 and you're like, I really, really need two before I can team fight. That can help inform those decisions. I'd say in general, things to just always kind of think about also, you know what your goal is to win the game in like a very broad sense on that macro level. It's like, how do you guys win games? Are you a team fighting team? Do you siege? Are you really good at splitting up the map, that sort of stuff? And then also just communicate with your team. Tell them like, hey, I am not going to come, or like, I'm on my way. As long as they know what's going on, they'll be able to make a better informed choice that will hopefully help minimize those times when they take like a 3v5 team fight and just ruin the game.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you, Leonardo. Hopefully that helps.
Okay. I just wanted to like link this for you guys.
You actually found it?
Yeah. And I have it like all mathed out and stuff too. Here you go. So the team with the most points has gets to skip play-ins, and it's based on the last 2 years of like MSIs and Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So currently, after this MSI, so going into Worlds, China has 56 points, Europe has 37 points, Korea has 38 points, LMS is 1 point, and North America has 14 points. So the team that will be skipping groups is China this year, or skipping play-ins is China.
Okay.
I think it's a good system, though, for the most part.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's cool. Next email is from Father Phil. It says, hey, guys, I would definitely swap a Mumu's bandage toss with Silas's E, abscond, abduct, since that's what a Mumu should have anyways. And so this is a roundtable answer. It's strange that these new champs seem to get two separate abilities in one, and that's an incredibly aggravating thing. Silas gets a short dash, but with a shield, and then recasts it to get bandage tossed. Seems fair, lol. Anyway, rant done. Also, you guys are talking about Nocturnal, and I was thinking about it. What if his ult was changed in one simple but terrifying way? When Nocturne hits R, the screen goes dark, as it currently is. And then when Nocturne dives in, he appears to dive in on every player. Whoa. He only damages one he actually targeted, but there are clones like Nico that perform the same action that originate from his position or the max range of the ult. That way every single player sees Nocturne ulting them, but only one is actually damaged. Anyway, guys, keep up the good work. I think that it would probably have to be within the range, but I still think it'd be crazy cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think within a moderately sized range of the person that he actually targets. So, like,
I think if they're in range when you cast ult, then they should have one go at them.
I feel like it should be only near the person he targets. But I would be fine with either way. That's such a good change, though. I think it makes him super good. But hey, we'll see. That was a good email. Thank you, Phil. Next up is from Andy. He said, hey, guys, been listening for a while, off and on. Really enjoy the show. First off, last week's roundtable question, I'd switch Shaco's E for Talon's Q. I know Shaco doesn't need the gap closer, but if he had an E that could both silence or slow instead of ranged minor slow, it would help him get back to being a god of the jungle. If you could make one champion for a league based off of lore for a league, who would it be? Such as the person who made Shaco, Doran, Jinx's sister, etc. I think Jinx's sister is Vi. So she's already in the game.
What about Cass and his daughter?
Cass and his daughter? That's Kaisa. She's in the game too, bud.
Maybe. Are either of those confirmed?
Yes.
I don't think they're confirmed.
I'm pretty sure they are.
I don't think either of those are actually confirmed.
I mean, okay, I am almost willing to bet that Vi is 100% confirmed. Kaisa, probably not.
I don't think Kaisa is. I'm not sure about the Vi one.
All right, Aiden, do you have any like lore things that you would want to add to the game?
I don't think so.
I think the easiest answer for me would be like any of like the characters, like teachers, right? Like the guy who taught Master Yi, like the one who like taught, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, Shen's dad, stuff like that. But I feel like none of those would be really cool because it'd be the exact same character, right? Oh, yeah, I just had one. I know my answer.
I'm seeing that both are confirmed. Kais is Kassadin's daughter and Vi is Jinx's sister.
Okay. I have one that I just need to look up his name real quick, and then I will tell you my answer. Aiden, I want to hear one from you, though.
I literally don't know any characters. I don't play this game for the lore.
The only one I know is, like, Jarvan the Third.
What about Jarvan the Second?
Ooh, I got some bad news for you, bud. You know that metal piece that's Sion's jaw?
Yeah.
That's his crown.
What about Jarvan the First? Dead.
He's probably dead too, bud.
You don't know that, though. They never said that in lore.
Yeah, but great-great-grandpa?
I'm sorry. Jarvan's young as fuck,
yeah, great-grandpa.
Everyone knows
that. His great-grandpa would still be dead as fuck.
Yeah, Jarvan's, like, have children at young ages.
Yeah, yeah, they do. It is known.
Okay, okay.
So my answer.
So that would mean, Jarvan's child could be eligible. Jarvan the Fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like Annie size. Perfect.
What about the hero from Poppy's lore?
Ooh, true, true, true.
Oh, Pog, dude, the actual hero.
And anytime he's in the game, he just walks up and takes away her hammer and her base AD drops by 25.
What if it's just perfect. Poppy, but with Poppy attached to the hammer?
Ooh.
So he slings around Poppy holding the hammer.
Hell yeah.
Perfect. My answer is General Ducateau, which is Katarina's dad and like the leader of the Ducateau clan, who's like stronger than Talon and Katarina.
I thought it was Cassiopeia's dad.
You out here taking toes?
I think it's Katarina and Cassio's dad.
That's the joke. Because they're sisters.
They are sisters.
And that's confirmed.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah.
But I believe like in the canon lore, it was like that. Like, he was, like, the deadliest one with the blade. Then it was, like, Katarina and then Talon. Or Talon was maybe second and Katarina was third. So I imagine that he would be more of, like, a bruiser. But I just think he'd be, like... You could make, like, a real... If they designed it well, right? Because it could either turn out to be, like, edgy garbage or real cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They could just use me with a katana as the model.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
But I'm basically just imagining like a Swain-esque character, but it's like a melee bruiser.
That's kind of like the thought I had for like Jarvan the Third. Just like this super tactical, like doesn't give a fuck guy.
Okay.
We need more characters like Swain, who are like calm and composed.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be sweet. Yeah. Thanks, Andy. That was a good question.
Ooh, one more thing about his question. What part of it was it? Where is this question?
Shaco.
Shaco's E is the worst ability in the entire game.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I actually think it is, though. Look at the scaling. Have you ever looked at the scaling on it?
It can make minions miss autos on you, though.
Ooh, not anymore. It took that away, bud.
That's the joke. They took everything good away from him.
Like, look at the damage scaling on it. 55, 80, 105. It scales by 15. Why does it scale by 15 on the first level? There's no
reason. How much does Yumi's scale?
Like, that's ridiculous.
I've got it pulled up.
Because we don't want him to be too strong, because other parts of his kit are very good.
Okay, to be fair, if that character's strong, the game's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, rework him already.
Agreed. Hard agree. He would have been my vote if he were on the list.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. What if when he presses his Q, it just... sends out like a clone in all four directions, and you're just one of them.
Ooh, just, and then you throw the shiv, but then you can pull it out, and it does.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and you can pull it out. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if Dr. Mundo and Shaco do it at the same time, you lose the game.
No, they get like tangled in each other, and neither of them actually gets to pull it out.
And then you become stuck. The same hero. You control the same champion, but on different teams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Shaco just rides around on Mundo's shoulders for the rest of the game. And then you get the new support on there too, and there's three characters just all running around together.
Cool.
Perfect.
Thanks, Andy. Next email is from Mountain Drew 4444. That's 4 4s if you didn't know. Hey, Colton, Aiden, and Nick. I'm new to the podcast. Just started listening.
Just want to note that my name was first.
Yeah, it's alphabetical, duh. And have loved it so far. I have two quick questions for you guys. That's the joke, bud. But first, I'd like to thank you for the Viker and Zillion bot lane cheese pick. Me and my friend played in solo queue, and it's a blast. We haven't lost with it yet, except for that time that jungle got tilted at our choice of champs and left the game before it even started. Anyway, two questions I have are, number one, with the crazy rise in popularity of Dota 2 auto chess, I was wondering how you guys would make a League auto chess. What synergies would you go for? I find it a challenge, as most characters in League are human. It would be difficult to make race synergies. Number two, what information should I be gleaming from the stats window under profile in the launcher? I'm currently not even close to Diamond, in fact, the furthest from it. However, it tells me that I'm Diamond level or higher on Nocturne and the Pony Man himself. Is this a sign I'm on the right track to improving, or does it just mean that my enemies suck because it's iron and I get good numbers that way? Thanks a lot again for making this podcast. It's really great, and you guys keep making great content from what I've seen. Thanks, Mountain Drew 4444. I like saying your name, so you can send in more emails. That's pretty cool. First question. So I think you got to go roll, right? So AD carries would synergize with AD carries. But then you make
I think
faction.
It would be roll
faction, faction would be fine.
I guess you could
so in auto chess, it's both. So each character has a race and a roll. So I think faction and... What did I say? Faction and roll would be good. So like characters with Demacia would get probably like armor or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
While noxious characters would get like a bleed on hit or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best way to do it. That'd be really sick. And finally, the stats window under profile in the launcher.
So it's the one that shows you, like, for example, my Tahm Kench compared to other Tahm Kenches in my... So, like, I've talked about this a fair bit in our, like, Discord. It's... Mm-hmm. Stats are great, and comparing them is absolutely fine. The main one you kind of want to compare it to, though, is, like, people in your own ELO. It's great and all that, like, you may have, like, for example, on Tahm Kench... I get a way higher KDA than Challenger Tahm Kenches, but Challenger Tahm Kenches are playing against Challengers, whereas I'm playing against like Diamond players, right? Or in your case, you're playing against Iron players, but the people that you're comparing yourself to in Diamond are playing against Diamond players, right? Therefore, mm-hmm. probably get less kills, get less damage per death, whatever. So I would recommend using the stats tab. I think it's super useful, but compare it to only your own tier. So like, look at your Iron tier and then go like, oh, I'm doing... I think there's a couple of stats that are more important, but like, for example, damage per death. Wow, I'm doing really low damage per death compared to other people. So you want to start maximizing your damage, or I'm doing really low damage percent share of my team. Or I think the best stats are, let me just go through the best stats really quick. Damage per death, I think, is really, really important. Kill participation is somewhat important. Early gold advantage, I think, is huge. And then damage mm-hmm. per gold is really, really important. I think those, well, I guess early gold advantage and CS advantage are kind of similar, but either way, like those are ones that you want to take note of, right? I'm doing X amount of damage per gold that I have, meaning even if you're losing, you want to have high damage based on the amount of gold that you have. And then
this
obviously
is really cool. I've never looked at this.
Yeah, there's like lots of really, really interesting stats, but I would compare them to your own ELO or maybe at the most one ELO above you. But I really wouldn't go too much further than that, because then people are playing it like against harder players than you, and that kind of mm-hmm. skews it.
Huh. This is sick.
Yeah, it's really well done. Hopefully that helps like somewhat, though.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Mountain Drew, and glad to see you're enjoying yourself here.
Yeah, and last email here is from Phil. And it says, hey, guys. I was chatting with Aiden yesterday about maybe getting some coaching sessions for a buddy of mine, and possibly even me, depending on how much you want. He's a top Gnar main, and to be honest, mostly a Gnar one-trick pony. He's silver 2, also plays Zoe mid the times he's not playing Gnar. Summoner's name is Victor's Secrets. Ooh. I had a hard go of it last year. I really enjoyed playing support last year, but ranked didn't like me. and pop me in bronze in my ranked games. I'd be put against silver and gold bot lane opponents, which is frustrating because my AD carry was never higher than bronze. Anyway, I switched back to jungle because I'm the only one who, in my group of friends, can play jungle. So, being rusty now, I'm in iron. Lol, life's rough. Summoner's name is Ice Cursor. Anyway, guys, let me know what you think and the details on what it would include, etc. So in terms of coaching stuff, I mean, I think that's probably, like, something we'd want to talk about kind of off the show.
Yeah. If you want to send us... If you want to send us a message on like Discord or something, we can reply to it.
Or Nick has the email guy. You could reply to his email.
I could.
True. Other than that, though, I mean, you know, we're always happy to just answer like general kind of questions, you know, about macro play, about certain champions. So, I mean, feel free to, as you're progressing through your ranked, developing your talent in this new role, like, hey, I saw this, you know, jungle route. Do you think it's good or bad? Or, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to do this. I mean, we're happy to kind of give that free advice as well. But if you do want one coaching, feel free to email us or we'll reach out to you. Other than that, I mean, just keep up the work. You know, sometimes you drop down, but if you keep at it, I'm sure you'll get back up to the promised land of gold and get those end of season rewards.
Yeah, there's still plenty of time to make it.
Yeah.
So, cool. And that's it. Thank you for listening. If you like us, you can check out our Twitter at LeeCast and at LeeCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeeCast. Come talk to us on TeamSpeak, ts.leecastpodcast.com, or on Discord. You can get our Discord information by sending us an email, and I'll reply to it as quickly as I can. Twitch.tv/BlueBasket and /KingLardot where you stream.
I've actually been streaming recently. It's huge.
Yeah, he's actually been streaming a bunch. And make sure you follow him so you get that sweet grilled cheese stream.
Yeah, and the tournament again that's happening on the 5th, the 25th. 1 p.m. Eastern, me and Good Guy Knox. It's going to be great. Nick and Aiden will be there for a special guest appearance.
Hell yeah. And you can send us emails, mail@leecastpodcast.com. Finally, if you like us, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leecast. Thank you all for listening so much. We will see you next week for episode 380. Goodbye.
Bye.
You can also give us money on Patreon, even if you don't like us. Bye.